physical boundaries, right? How many of you've got them? On one side of the road, you got people who don't ever take care of their bodies. And on the other side of the road, you got people who are wanting to chisel and perfect their bodies. It's almost like they want to worship them, right? Well, my pastor, Ronnie Stinson, said, in life, you've got a road. And the idea, Brother True Love, is to stay on the road. There's a ditch on this side, and there's a ditch on this side. So the idea is for us to stay within the boundaries that God has for us, right? Today, talking to you about physical boundaries. Next week, we're going to talk about moral boundaries. The following week, we're going to talk about mental and emotional boundaries. Then we're going to talk about financial boundaries. And then the last week, we're going to talk about scheduling boundaries, right? Now, if you think I'm preaching the whole time on this thing, you got another thing coming, right? It's not going to happen. But that's the deal. I mean, we got to think about the parameters in life of what God wants for us, right? I mean, there's no doubt. And so what you find is you find that we've got a lot of blind spots in the body of Christ. The other day, last Monday, I was in Nashville, Tennessee with the family of Hadley Mosley, a little 8-month-old little girl who's had a major operation. And as I was driving in that Nashville traffic, I was getting ready to merge into the off-ramp, on the ramp, into the main traffic. And as I was doing that, I looked in my rearview mirror, everything looked fine. I looked in my side mirror, everything looked fine. But it wasn't until I looked over my left shoulder, my blind spot area, did I see a car that was speeding by me, right? And if I'd not looked into that blind spot, then I would have had a major accident. Well, it's the same way in life, guys. I mean, I'm telling you, if you don't start looking at the blind spots of life, then it will cause a lot of injuries and fatalities and things of that nature in your life. You say, Chad, are you preaching this message because of vanity? No, I'm not. I'm not talking about vanity. I'm not talking about how you've just got to look a certain way and how all this stuff is just so you can impress other people. That's not what I'm talking about. Here's the deal that I've got with this whole issue. I believe that the Christian community has a big, honking, glaring blind spot when it comes to physical authenticity. I really believe that. Far too long, we've emphasized the sins against the flesh rather than emphasizing the importance of the body in and of itself. Far too long, we've emphasized the eternal quality of the soul and all that other stuff, and that's fine and dandy. But the problem is we don't talk about the whole enchilada when it comes to the Christian faith. And you living out your life to honor God in everything that you say and do. I mean, I just really believe that. And here's the deal. I mean, you know, we got pastors who will be quick to preach on some of the sins against the flesh and the flesh that it performs, such as homosexuality and adultery and premarital sex and lying and stealing and things of that nature. But I would dare say that you've heard many messages preached in the church about gluttony, about overeating, about not taking care of the temple that God has blessed you with. Why? Because most of the pastors that I know can't see their feet because of their belly, right? And I'm just being honest with you. See, that's the thing. We want to hide some things back in the closet, and we want to bring some other things to the forefront because a lot of times we are shielding or trying to protect the lack of discipline that we have in our own life. Do you know that the Southern Baptist Convention has their own health insurance program, and it's through the annuity board? Do you know that the rates for Southern Baptist pastors are a lot higher than it is if you go with a secular institution such as Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield or with Aetna or with Humana or whoever? You know why? It's because they group those ministers together and they're some of the most unhealthy individuals that are walking around in society today. Do you know there are more oversized caskets that are being ordered today than there ever has been before? Do you know that we've got an issue in our lives where we're ignoring this major area of our lives, and it's causing a lot of people to doubt the other things that we're saying in our lives and when we're preaching and teaching? Why? Because they think, hey, if you don't have a discipline in this area of your life, then why in the world should I listen to what you're saying about other aspects of your life? I mean, it's not popular preaching. This is not a message everybody's going to be real excited about. I just want to be clear, though. God doesn't want you to reject your body. God does not want you to neglect your body. That's on this side of the road in that ditch. He doesn't want you to ignore it. But neither does God want you to go the other side of the road where the other ditch is, where you perfect your body, where you're just chiseling just right, and you're making sure you're working out just right, and you've got this fine tan and all this other stuff to where you almost worship the image that you produced in your life. He doesn't want you to reject it. He doesn't want you to neglect it. He does not want you to perfect it. But what God wants you to do is he wants you to protect it. God wants you to protect your body to live for him. Well, Chad, why in the world should I even care? Why in the world should I even be engulfed in this message today? Because I just figured I'm going to die of something. I might as well eat and be happy and go on with life the way I see fit. Listen to me. If your mentality is that you'll just eat, do whatever you want to do, and live life, and you're going to die of something, that's one of the most selfish attitudes that somebody could possibly have. Why is that? Because the longer you live, church, the more opportunities you got to tell somebody about Christ. And the longer you live, the more opportunities you have to spend time with your family and your loved ones, and to be able to be an influence to some of your kids and your grandkids and of generations to come. It is very important that you take this message seriously today. Very important. God wants you to protect your body. Why does our body really even matter to God? I don't really see anywhere in Scripture, man. This is a vanity type thing. I beg to differ with you because I find, number one, that our bodies matter to God because they were created by God. Genesis chapter 2 tells us that God was in the business of creating. And when he was creating this world, check this out, he spoke things into existence. I mean, he just spoke. He said, let there be light, and boom, there was light. So he spoke everything into existence except in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And we find God doing something quite interesting here, something very unique. We find God really getting involved here. We find God sort of rolling up his sleeves when he is creating man. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, the Bible says the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living thing. It tells me that God really got involved. And then the Bible says that God made woman. You know, I just kind of believe that God just took man, and it was kind of his rough draft, and then he came along, and woman came, and it was kind of the upgraded model. You know what I'm saying? The perfected model. I mean, just think about that. Psalms chapter 139, the Bible says right here that David was talking about the fact that our bodies are handcrafted by God. I'm telling you today, church, you are no fluke of evolution. I don't care what your science teacher tells you. I know some of you smell like you came from some slime. I know some of you look like you came from some kind of slime, but I'm here to tell you today that David said in Psalms 139, verse 13, he says, for you, who's you? God. He says, for you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. He said, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. And he says, I know that full well. You know why your body matters to God? It's because God created your body. He fashioned your body. You are part of his workmanship. You are special today in the sight of God. You are his handiwork. You are the object of his affection in every way. I mean, that's what you are. God himself created us. Number two, write this down. Our bodies matter to God because one was worn by God. I mean, think about it. We were at a ball game back a few years ago It's when DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall and Patrick Patterson and all those guys were playing for Kentucky, and we were crazy enough to drive down to New Orleans. And when we got down there, I mean, we were having a big time. They were playing Wake Forest in the second round of the NCAA tournament, and we were pumped up and excited. It was myself and Leanne. She could care less if she was there, but she was going because of me. And Robert and Whitney Braden were there, some of our friends. Robert's the principal of the Sedalia Elementary School here in this county. And, man, we were excited. I mean, we beat Wake Forest. We were like, man, we're destined to win this thing. And Robert and I, at the end of the game, no joke, ran down to where the players were running back into the locker room like two schoolgirls, running down there screaming and yelling, high-fiving the players as they were walking off the court. And all of a sudden, DeMarcus Cousins walks out, and here he flings, he takes off his headband, his sweaty, nasty headband, and he flings it up into the crowd, and Robert knocks over 15 kids to get to it, and Rudd jumps up and grabs the headband, and the whole time I start to chant. I was like, put it on, man, put that headband on. Everybody else started chanting, put it on. And finally, here Robert Braden is, this sophisticated, professional elementary school principal. He takes this headband that DeMarcus Cousins had just worn in the game, I'm talking drenched in sweat, and he put it on his head, and sweat just started running down his face. Everybody was cheering. We were hooping and hollering. We're like, yes, that's good. And there was just some psycho guy there who came up to Robert, and he said, man, I'll give you $100 right now for the headband. And I'm like, do it. Sell this headband now. I mean, there was nothing on it. DeMarcus Cousins didn't sign it. It just had an Air Jordan logo on it. There was nothing, no proof that it was DeMarcus Cousins. We didn't even know what he was going to do. We thought he would be destined to go to the NBA, and he has, and he's got a great career. I mean, we're like, man, I was like, sell it. And Robert's not like, no, I'm not going. This guy followed us out in the lobby. He brought out a $100 bill. I'm like, sell the thing. And Robert held on to it. And later I got in the car, and as I was driving home, I was thinking about that moment. Why was this guy wigging out about a headband that somebody else wore? Why was this guy really spazzing out wanting this thing? Because I'm telling you why. Somebody in his eyes who was very valuable wore that headband, and therefore he wanted it, right? He wanted to take care of it. He wanted to treasure it. He wanted to put it on showcase for others to see. Folks, I'm telling you, our bodies matter to God. You want to know why? Because somebody who should be very valuable to you and I wore one himself. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says the Word. That's talking about Jesus here. The Word became flesh, put on a body, and the Word says that he made his dwelling among us. That's the reason why our bodies matter to God, because he wore one himself. Number three, our bodies are indwelt by God himself. That's why they matter to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Check this out. Who is in you? Who is in you? Who's you? Anybody that's got Christ in their life? In you. That you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, here it is, honor God with your body. See, in the Old Testament, the OT, you find the writers were telling us that God was in the house. He was in the temple. He was in the tabernacle. That's where he hung out. But in the NT, the New Testament, we have a writer saying something totally weird right here. In the New Testament, the writer says that God is not in the house anymore, that God is out of the house. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says that God is now in your house. We are the housing of the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm going to say something's going to shock a few of you today. A lot of times what people see on the outside is a direct reflection of what we really think about God on the inside. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. Anybody ever heard of the Church of the Nativity? You ever heard of that place? probably the one of the most expensive places ever built. Most certainly probably the most expensive church, other than maybe a few Catholic churches here and there. You know where it's built? It's built over the place where they felt like Jesus was born, right there in Jerusalem. And they said that they spared no expense because they wanted a house of worship where people could come and worship the Christ, the Son of God, in the exact place where he was born. I mean, think about this. He was just there 2 or 3 hours, but what yet one of the most expensive churches in the world is built right here in this spot. Folks, I'm telling you, Jesus is not just passing through your life. He's not just taking up residence in 2 or 3 hours. No, when you kneel by faith in your heart and you ask him to say, Jesus, I need you in my life. Come into my life and save me and set me free. Forgive me of all my sins. I'm telling you today that the Holy Spirit of God comes to reside in your life forever and ever. He's not just passing through for a couple of hours. No, he takes up residence there. The book of Romans says that our bodies matter as well. It says that our bodies can and should be an act and expression of our love to God and an act of worship. You say, well, prove that to me. I'm glad you asked. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer, here it is, your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. The text says it's a spiritual thing. Folks, listen to me. We should not use worship for our bodies. Oh, I've heard people say, what are you talking about? Well, I've heard people say, you know what, Pastor Chad, I love just turning on some worship music. It just makes me feel good. And you know, we worship God, and we think, well, we're just going to let that worship just kind of feel. And there's nothing wrong with that to a degree. But if you stop right there, it is. You say, what do you mean? Folks, we don't use worship for our bodies. We should use our bodies, according to God's word, for worship. We should use our bodies for worship. Folks, listen to me. It's not what you see in the mirror that really should matter, but it's what you mirror that should matter. Some of you get that next week. I know I'm in Western Kentucky. Help me out a little bit. It's not what you see in the mirror that matters. It's what you mirror that does matter. That's what matters. And Romans says that we should offer our bodies as living sacrifices. We should give God the best act of worship possible. We should give the best body back to God that we can. It is my prayer today that we erase this big honking blind spot that I'm talking about so that we can become the people that God wants us to become. You say, Chad, do we really have a problem in this area? Yep. Well, prove it to me. Latest figures show that the average lifespan in America is 77.6 years. That's great. But obesity, being overweight, can reduce that lifespan by 5 to 10 years. The U.S. is considered the nation, no joke, the United States is considered to be the nation with the worst weight problem there is. 74%, updated numbers, 74% of Americans are overweight. 35% are considered to be obese, in danger of losing their life if something doesn't change. Did you hear me? Over 1/3 is so overweight that we're in a danger zone. Have you guys ever thought about what kind of car you'd like? What's your dream car? You ever thought about that? Like, listen, for some reason, I've always wanted a yellow Lamborghini, right? I mean, can you imagine that? Can you imagine PC driving around in a yellow Lamborghini? I mean, look, I mean, it'd be all, I mean, what's somebody, tell me one of your favorite cars. Anybody, what's, 65 Mustang. If you ask my brother Kevin, he would say a 69 Camaro. He would say, anybody else? Come on, guys. Huh? F-type Jaguar. You got a little high taste there, bro. I mean, that's pretty expensive. Anybody else? You're like pimping riding that thing, right? Yeah. Kennedy always, and this is dangerous for a dad, but she always says she wanted a yellow Volkswagen van, right? And I said, That ain't going to be your first vehicle. Why in the world? Why do we love these vehicles? Why do we fantasize? Because a lot of times they're engineering marvels, are they not? I mean, we're like, wow, man. I mean, what would you, I always like the Porsche too. I mean, if I gave you a $135,000 Porsche, what would you do with it? I mean, would you, some of you said sell it. Well, maybe, but if I gave you your favorite vehicle, and I said you could not sell it, what would you do with it? I mean, would you trash it? Would you take it off road? Would you put low-grade fuel into it? No, you would not. I mean, you would wash it, man. You'd shine it up. I mean, you'd look like old Biff out there on Back to the Future just doing a spit shine. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that thing would be rolling all the time. I mean, you'd pull up into Walmart. You would park in the furthest spot you could park. No door dings, nothing like that, man. You would make sure that you'd put the highest grade fuel into that thing. Why? Because it is an engineering marvel, right? Well, can I just tell you today that God has given you the keys to an engineering marvel, and we do not need to trash it. It is our body today, and the question we need to ask ourselves is, how are we taking care of it? What kind of fuel are you putting into your engineering marvel today? Fat, I mean, cholesterol clogging fat, mess you up fat. Caffeine, the average American consumes 1 gallon of soft drinks per week. Sugar, they say that most children in America will consume, check this out, between 150 and 350 pounds of sugar a year. And we wonder why we've got hardening of the arteries. We wonder why heart attacks are running rampant. We wonder why we've got cancer everywhere. Check out what 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 18 says. Then it happened. Check this out. This is Bible. I'm not making this up. Look right here. Then it happened, when he made mention of the ark of God, that Eli, who's Eli? Eli was a priest, a preacher in Shiloh. He was a spiritual leader of the people. Check this out. Then it happened, when he made mention of the ark of God, that Eli, this preacher, this priest, fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died. Not a way to go, is it? Check out what the Word of God says. I don't know why it's in here, but it's in here for a reason. For the man was owed, and I would have left it right there, but God went ahead and included this. For the man was owed and heavy. Now, depending on what translation you read, it's got some other unflattering things to say about heavy, right? The man was owed and heavy. You know what? Here you've got Eli, who is the leader of God's temple. He was the pastor, the priest of God's house, yet he was out of touch with his own body, and he neglected his own temple that God was living in. What happens when we get too locked into what I call the Eli diet? What happens? I'll tell you what happens. We have a lack of energy. Have you ever wondered why we're so tired at the end of the day? Have you ever wondered why you feel so wasted, why your kids are up 1 minute and then down the next? I'll tell you something else, behavioral changes. Could it be the sugar that you're pumping into your kids' systems? I mean, how about this? A poor diet leads to a poor self-esteem. You show me somebody who has a low self-esteem, and I'll show you somebody who has a lack of intimacy. And if you have somebody who's got a poor self-esteem, which leads to a lack of intimacy, then therefore you have a problem in your marriage. I want to talk to the ladies for just a second. Our society ambushes you with these unrealistic images. I'm drinking a little water here right now, all right? Just hang on. And these guys getting up, they're not under conviction. They're on the parking team, all right? I know people think that every week. Man, he stepped on his toes. Folks, it's a joke. It's a farce. They're unrealistic images. And because of this, it leads to some eating disorders that people have. Now, these eating disorders are not just for people who are way out in left field, right? I mean, think about bulimia. The definition of bulimia is it's an eating disorder in which a person regularly binge eats and then tries to prevent weight gain, by definition, by self-induced vomiting, water pills, and laxatives. And we think, well, yeah, we see all that. We know that. And yes, that's what bulimia is. But the definition goes a little bit further. That might include a few more of us than we thought. Because it also says that you'll try to control it with fasting. You ever ate a bunch of stuff and say, I'm just not going to eat for a couple days now? And here's a kicker. Exercise. You ever eat something and you're like, man, I got to go get on a treadmill. As long as I run 4 or 5 miles, I can just work that off. It's a form of bulimia, according to the definition. Food is used to cover these emotional issues. It's used to numb out your true feelings. How about the next one? Anorexia? Anorexia is the eating disorder associated with a distorted body image that may be caused by a mental disorder, according to the definition. It consists of a preoccupation with dieting and thinness that leads to excessive weight loss. Can I just tell you something? Listen, when we see these unrealistic pictures and images in Vogue and Cosmo and all of that, we've got to realize that's not the real world. I mean, remember what I said. Stay with me. Listen, the ditch on this side of the road is where we neglect and reject our bodies, right? And a lot of us feel like we're hanging out in this ditch. But there is another ditch on the other side of the road that says that if you don't look a certain way, then you're not in. Thin is in, and that's just the way it's going to be. And so therefore, if you don't have this perfect body and you don't do all this other stuff, then you're not on the right road or the right path for success in your life. And then you've got people over here trying to perfect their body. They're trying to work it just right, or they're over here doing things to manipulate their body, binge eating and throwing up and then overexercising and things of that nature. Listen, all of that stuff is a ditch on this side as well. The idea is to keep the car of life on the road. God gave you that bone structure. God gave you that muscular system. God gave you that body for a reason. Do the best with it that you can. You're beautiful. I mean, in the sight of a holy God, man, He made you. And so we should not neglect that. We shouldn't trash it. Let me jump back to the choices that we need to make that will honor God in everything we do. I want to direct your attention to Daniel. My boy in Daniel. Daniel was a man who, as a youngster, was deported from Jerusalem all the way back to Babylon. And the Bible says while he was in Babylon with his buddies, he was told to eat the rich food that the king served at his table. And so David kind of made a deal with the leader. And he was like, hey, bro, he's like, if we eat the healthy stuff, and I'm talking about vegetables and water and all of that, and all of your other people eat all the junk food, the cholesterol crowd, let's kind of take a little survey here and examine everybody after 10 days. You look at us, and then you look at the guys that's been eating the king's choice food, and let's see who looks better at the end of the 10 days. And so this is what happened. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, but the Bible says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. And at the end of 10 days, verse 15, they looked healthier, talking about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and a billy goat, right? And better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. And so the guards took away their choice food and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. Check out our boy Daniel right here. He was in a foreign land, but yet he made choices that honored his God. It's what he did. Folks, you know every time we walk into a restaurant, we're in a foreign land. Y'all know that? I mean, we're bombarded by fat and cholesterol and sugar and additives and all that. And like our boy Daniel, we've got to make the correct choices in a foreign land. I mean, it's okay every now and then to have a little meal that you maybe crave here and there, but you should not do that on a consistent, everyday basis of your life. You shouldn't. It will kill you, and it will cause you to miss out on opportunities that God's got for you in your life. I mean, it will. Tony and I was going to eat the other day for lunch, and we went to Arby's. And we walked into Arby's, and we get behind the little counter, and Tony orders first, and he says, yeah, he said, I like that Reuben sandwich right there. And the girl said, you want fries with that? And he said, sure. And then he got a drink. And then so here I am coming in behind him, and I was even paying for that sapsucker's meal, right? And I said, hey, I said, I want that one meal up there, that chicken, bacon, ranch, whatever thing it is, you know, up there. And she said, you want fries? I said, no, let me sub it out for something else. And I got something else, and I probably wasn't the best thing. And I said, I'm gonna drink some sweet tea. You know, I think that's gonna calm it down a little bit, you know. And Tony, as godly of a man as he is, he picked up the nutrition guide as I was ordering, and he said, hey, bro, he said, you know that what you just ordered has such and such sodium in it and such cholesterol in it and all that? And I mean, I felt bad. I mean, I thought I was going to have to stop at the counter and repent before the Arby's employees and everybody else in there. And then I said, hey, Buster, how much is in that Reuben sandwich? And he wouldn't say anything, and finally he said, a lot more than what's in your sandwich, you know? And I'm like, what's this, the pot calling the kettle black here? I mean, every time you walk into a restaurant, you're bombarded. You are. Hey, it doesn't just stop with the fuel that we're putting into our bodies. Let's talk about exercise. Matter of fact, talking about all this, man, I got to get exercising. I've not been eating good lately, all right? If you read the Gospels, it's amazing to see how many miles that Jesus and the disciples logged over a 2 or 3 week period, right? I wonder if Jesus had a Fitbit, like a spiritual Fitbit, you know, those bracelets, you know? I mean, think about that. You know what we're doing now as a staff? Not to just preach this stuff. We want to be doers of the word, not just preachers and hearers of the word. We have challenged our staff, a 3-month challenge, to go and work out at the YMCA here in Mayfield. You say, why are you promoting this place? Because it is a Christian organization, that's why. You don't know that. The YMCA, I know most of y'all think, YMCA, you know, that's what you think of. No. The YMCA is a Christian organization. You walk in, they got scripture up on the wall. I mean, listen, it's pretty important to see that when you're about to die on a treadmill and it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, right? I mean, you're like, praise Jesus, help me. Your God, the Holy Spirit needs to indwell my body more than he has been lately because I'm fixing to lay out, right? But listen, we've challenged our staff because we don't want to be projecting this thing out where we're saying, hey, this is how we need to live our life to be fully devoted followers of Christ and not be truly disciples of Christ. You know what the root word of discipleship is or disciple? Discipline. You know why I chose to start this message series at the end of January instead of starting at January 1, where most people probably right now would be thinking, why didn't you tell me this at the beginning of the year so I can make my New Year's resolutions? I told you at the beginning of the year that most New Year's resolutions would be gone by the time it got to the end of January. Matter of fact, only 40% of people who made New Year's resolutions would be continuing those resolutions by the end of January. Here we are at the end of January. Let's change the statistics. Let's change the tide. Let's start now. I mean, it's hilarious. It is absolutely hilarious to see our staff up there. I mean, it's worth the price of admission to come up there. Like, just check us out. I mean, but everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, except maybe Kyle. I mean, I'm just kidding. Kyle's working out too. We're all doing what we're supposed to be doing, and we're trying to help keep each other accountable and take care of one another. Why? Because I believe our staff matters. Okay, obviously one person believes that same thing, right? I believe our staff matters here at his house, do they not? Okay. And so, and you know what? Since we've been doing that, we've not been as complaining with sickness and other issues that have come up. You know, in the past, you don't really hear much about them. We have more energy. We come in more with a positive aspect. You know, we come in, we're like, yeah, let's get this done. It's a scientific fact that when you exercise, it releases chemicals in your brain that helps you to feel better. And therefore, I believe God takes your body and uses it for his honor and glory when you feel better. Can you imagine when it's like walking in somewhere and saying, hey, you need Jesus, but the guy can't even hardly catch his breath? And they're like, man, you need Jesus because you're fixing to die, you know. No. Can you imagine what it's like to walk in energetic and be excited and be like, hey, man, you need Christ in your life. I mean, it can make a difference, and you've got that energy and that enthusiasm and that zeal. You know, today, that's why the YMCA is offering a discounted, they call it a corporate rate in some other institutions, but here they're offering us a His House group rate today. If you walk out of here and they're at that table, when you walk out these double doors right to the right, that you can sign up, that the average, that what I was seeing, like the difference in the rates, is like $9 off per month, like on the family plan, if I'm not mistaken, for what they're offering His House attendees and members just by signing up under His House. You say, what does that get His House? Nothing other than we see you guys get healthy and we can go win more people to Jesus. But and to see you live longer. You know what, it breaks my heart when I go and I stand by somebody's hospital deathbed and I'm praying for them. And a lot of times that could be changed if we just take better care of our bodies and we have more time with our friends and our family and our loved ones. You know, I don't ever hear anybody tell me, Pastor Chad, on their deathbed. I've never heard anybody say, you know, I wish I accumulated more things. Wish I accumulated more things in life. Wish I had a bigger house. Nobody ever says anything like that. You know what they always tell me? I wish I did more for God, and I wish I had more time to spend with my friends and my family. But their family more important than anything else. I think you ought to do whatever you can to make sure you spend more time with your family. We're not only offering that YMCA deal here through a Christian organization, that also when we sponsor them and we give our money, they also do feeding programs and things like that during the summer to help them out, to feed kids that are less privileged in life. But we also have a Zumba class here on Fridays, which I'm not a part of, thank the Lord. But it's at 9:30 a.m. We offer it in the children's church area, and they'd love to have you come be a part of that. Listen, Jesus said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. I done told you that root word for disciple or discipleship is discipline. Part of discipleship is being a disciplined follower of Christ from the inside out. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Apostle Paul says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should do. I'm going to close with this story. Check this out. A lot of us are this way. True story. A duke who lived nearly 1,000 years ago in what's now called Belgium. His name was Renaud III. They said he was a knight who served in the Second Crusade and remained in the Holy Land after its defeat. They said he ruled as the Prince of Antioch from 1153 to 1160. Pretty controversial character, they tell us, in his own lifetime and beyond, that Renaud III lived a life of indulgence and he was obese. They said his Latin name, and I can't pronounce it, but it literally means fat. One day, Renaud and his younger brother, Edward, got into a very vicious fight. And Edward planned, and listen, true story, executed a triumphant revolt against his brother, Renaud. Edward took his older brother into custody, not to have him executed, but to punish him in his own mind. And a true story, what he did was, is he built a room around his brother, Renaud. The room had no windows in it. It had a place for a window, but it was open. It had a doorway that was near normal size, okay? It was not barricaded, no locks on anything. And what he did was, is he had his brother put in there, and day after day, he had his servants take his brother delicacies and very rich royal foods to him that were very tasty. And Duke Edward was accused of cruelty, and his ready answer was this. He said, my brother is not a prisoner. He may leave when he so wills. And what took place is sad. Instead of dieting, the true story is, instead of getting his way out and having freedom, Renaud grew more overweight, and he stayed in that room for 10 years until his older brother died. And he was in such bad health that he could not get out of the room. He had to stay there. He was so overweight that he died within a year of his brother dying. We could say that Renaud III was a prisoner of his own appetite for food. I'm going to tell you something I think is going to be life-changing for some people in here. Because when you take care of your body and you exercise and you eat right and things of that nature, you take care of this engineering marvel that God's given you, you're going to feel better, and when you feel better, you're going to be able to do more things. Your attitude is going to be better. You're going to be able to be pleasant around people that maybe were repulsed by you in the past because of our demeanors. And we're more than anything else, we're going to bring honor and glory unto God. Exodus chapter 20, this is one that rocks my world. First of the Ten Commandments, it says, "You shall have no other gods before me." And we can say a lot of things are gods. We can say, well, that football game, man, it's a god. Or we can say that job, work, it's a god. We can say that we have lust and things of that nature becomes our god. And we have money that becomes our god. But you know, I believe there's some issues in life that we need to get honest with ourselves about. Food and just lack of discipline and things of that nature and being lazy and self-indulgent and selfish instead of selfless. That a lot of times we can put those things before God as well. And it's really not honoring. You say, why do I need to live, God? Why, Chad, do I need to live longer? Because you need to honor God with every aspect of your life. And we're willing to help you do whatever it takes to get to that place to where you don't stay in this ditch, where you reject your body, and you don't end up in this ditch over here where you worship your body, where you perfect your body, but you stay on the path that God wants so you can protect your body and be everything God wants you to be in your life. Father, we